On this episode of the Everett Lee Show, joining me from Take Action Photography, Missy Sweeters joins me and is happening right now.
The Everett Lee Show podcast, a shot of entertainment.
Missy Sweeters, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to finally get to talk with you as much as we mention comments, mention each other on social media, especially on Facebook with some of the people that we both are acquaintances with, which is, I find amazing. Wrestling, it brings a lot of people together, don't it?
Wrestling is a small world.
It is. It's a small world. But what's good about it is just how many people it can bring together and how many people it can tear apart and just do so much, because it's so great. And awesome to get to talk to people that does what you get to do, because you're probably the third photographer I've had on my podcast since I started this back in 2016.
Oh wow.
Yeah. My best friend I grew up with, I think he was on episode 19. This is what, 261 now? That's a long way. Yeah. A lot of episodes in between having photographers. On my 101 episode, actually, I had a photographer on. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name.
He'll come to you mid-show.
Yeah. I know it's Wayne. If I actually pull up my stuff right here, I can tell you. He does what you do there with the Take Action Photography, your company that you do, and he's been doing it for quite a few years. But I talked to him. That was on episode 101. Here we are, 261.
Wow.
And I love mixing it up with the guests and stuff that I have on my podcast, because it's good, interesting conversations. And since I mentioned wrestling, how long have you been watching wrestling, or been when did you actually perceive wrestling, at what age?
You know what, this is going to show my age, but going back to like Hogan versus Warrior and Macho Man, I had to be about maybe 4 or 5 when I first kind of got into it. Like, my older brother was really into it, so I would watch it with him. But of course, as I got older, oh, it's stupid, it's fake, you know, the usual, oh, whatever. But I got really back deep into it. I was probably about maybe 16, 17, 18, Attitude Era. And I was like, every Monday night, I had about 5 friends over at the house. We were watching it faithfully. It was Thursday, still Thursday Night SmackDown. Sunday Night Heat, and also doing the WCW, the Monday Night Wars. That's really when we were really into it. So we'd flip back and forth. And then every pay-per-view, when you still had to pay $50 for the pay-per-view, we'd all gather together and watch all the pay-per-views. So, and that was both WWF and WCW that we were watching.
You mentioned Savage and Hogan. I was about the same age. And when you mentioned the age that you were at when you were watching the Attitude Era, same thing with me. So we're about the same age there. Mm-hmm. So during my senior year of high school, that's when I really started getting into like the Attitude Era, mm-hmm, wrestling there, because there was a stench between 89 to probably 89 to 97, 98. I didn't watch wrestling.
Same here.
I just didn't do it because of situations at home after my stepmom moved in. Now, we couldn't watch it no more. So I got out of it. I'd go over to a friend's house. Mm-hmm. And I have the friends that watch it, and I'd sit there and watch it and tune in and kind of know what was going on and knew what was going on and stuff. But I couldn't watch it. I had to go someplace else to watch it and then when I got back into it during my senior year of high school, Attitude Era. That was such a good time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun then.
did you do what I probably did? Record, tune in for Nitro from 8 to 9, then jump over from 9 to whenever and watch WWF.
I remember one of them would do like a replay, and I think it was WWF did a replay. So we'd watch WCW and then tune into WWF, or we'd flip back and forth. So, and I do remember, who was it? I think it was it Eric Bischoff that gave the spoiler alert? Yes. I remember watching that, and I'm like, oh. So I'm like, oh, now I got to flip over and see what's going on.
Yeah, he tried to spoil it for everybody. He tried to do that with the what would happen, because Raw was pre-taped on Sunday and then Monday, and of course he tried to spoil it, and then that eventually caught up with him, because when they mentioned about Mankind winning the championship, everyone flipped over and they lost viewers, man.
Exactly, because I mean, of course you want to watch Mankind win.
Yeah, of course. You do. You want to see this guy? Mankind's gonna win the championship? No.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, yeah. What the
exactly?
Don't hold Steve Austin and DX. That was so great. That was a great moment there. I'd have to say, Austin McMahon. I love that every week. Gosh.
The banter back and forth, the hospital gig, that was hilarious.
it was a hospital bed up beside, the bedpan up against it. I mean, how can you go wrong with that? And there was of course, like DX and The Nation going back and forth, The Rock and Triple H. That was a good feud there.
Yeah, that was when I personally think wrestling was like at its like highest peak of how can we make it better? We can't.
Yeah, it was there. It was like at the height and stuff. Everyone was trying to outdo everybody. Everyone was on their A game. And I liked when they introduced the Hardcore Championship. When they did that there. I liked Hardcore Holly. He's come out. Yes.
And the time they did the in the playground, in the like the McDonald's playhouse thing,
Crash Holly. Yeah. that was funny. That was when he really defended 24/7. That was the original 24/7.
Yep.
That was fun. I was like, even Hardcore Holly, when he was the Hardcore Champ, he come out there and say, "I'm the big shot." He had one of my favorite matches. I was telling someone this the other day. I said one of my favorite matches he did was that Hardcore match with Al Snow, where they fought all over the arena, outside to the river, and all the way back to the arena.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of my favorite matches there. And of course, I mentioned Steve Austin, and then McMahon, and then his feud with The Rock, and then Triple H, and it just goes on and on. And then I'd watched it during the Ruthless Aggression era with my father and my younger brother, because my younger brother loved Brock Lesnar when he came on the scene. Yeah, he was a big fan of Brock. And then he was a big fan of John Cena when he started out with Thugonomics.
I think almost every kid at one point is a fan of Cena. My son, he's not big on actually watching it on TV, but he was a fan of Cena.
Yeah, everyone was. I mean, for me, the biggest, like, there's a five people that represented their era of wrestling, which would have to be Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, and then you got the Rock, and then John Cena. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my five that represented the company throughout the years there in their decade. And yeah, Cena evolved. I still like the Thuganomics, and
yeah,
it just it evolved into what he is. He's doing good, Annie.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's kind of doing the Rock thing where he's going into Hollywood and all that. And I think the roles he's getting are perfect for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He's made that transition really well, especially with DC, with the Peacemaker. Have you seen that show?
Oh my gosh. I'm not a big DC fan, but I love the Peacemaker. It was like, I'm watching, I'm like, that's John Cena. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. I watched him in that one movie with the one female comedian. She was the boyfriend to him.
Amy Schumer, that one. Okay, yeah, I watched a bit of it. I'm not a big fan of hers, so I couldn't finish the movie. But yeah, that was kind of like, oh my, yeah.
Yeah, the movie theater scene was great. When mm-hmm. Cena was in there, then he's talking to Amy, and the guy's like, "You shut up!" And he's like, "You shut up, Mark Wahlberg." He's like, "Mark Wahlberg." he's like, "Mark Wahlberg." It looks like I just ate Mark Wahlberg. He's like, "You be quiet, Coco, beware."
The name dropping.
Yeah, the name dropping. It was so funny. My favorite thing from Peacemaker was when he did that one take. When he named off all the people that the one guy could have, you know, framed beside his father, mm-hmm. and naming off all those people from like fictional characters to reality key people. I mean, one take, that's talent right there.
Yeah, no, that definitely is.
Mm-hmm. And I'd have to say wrestling would have to be a big part of that, because having that background in wrestling, cutting mm-hmm. promos, being in front of the camera, coming off with something off the top of your head. You know, that plays a big part.
Oh, absolutely. Because especially when they're being filmed on, you know, like live Raw, they're like, they can't be like, oh, wait, I messed up. Let's retake it in front of the whole audience or on the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't. They can't. It's live. You gotta be on your game, you know, one and done. And then mm-hmm. just with.
Exactly.
You definitely have to. I mentioned take action photography. Mm-hmm. When have you always been in doing photography, or is that something that you got into early in life, or did it just later on in life you got into doing photography?
I've always liked being behind the camera, even growing up. I was in yearbook during junior high and high school for a little bit. I was always the one at the my friends' parties and all that, taking pictures and, you know, getting them developed and all that. But I really didn't get into more serious photography until probably about maybe give or take 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was actually going to independent wrestling shows. I had a nice camera, and I'm just like, I'm going to bring it, and I'm going to start taking pictures as a fan and just see how they came out. And I had a couple of the guys at the show. We were chatting during intermission, and they're like, we really like your pictures. You see, we're always sharing them. You should, you know, look into trying to get more ringside, or, you know, continue doing it. And it wasn't until probably about maybe 3 years ago that I got to actually go ringside to start shooting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. 3 years ago, you've got to get ringside. How is that shooting from, because you're up front by the guardrails.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting from there, shooting from being like up on the ring. How different is that? Did that make a big difference right there on how you took your pictures?
Kinda. I had to actually, because, you know, when you're going as a fan, you're sitting back there, you're trying not to have the ropes, you know, get in the way and all that, trying to get a good shot of everything. Whereas when I'm ringside, I'm actually up sometimes, you know, underneath the ropes to get that shot, and it's a different angle, so I'm shooting up and all that. So it was a big learning experience on how to get different angles.
Oh, okay. Okay. And what type of camera do you use? What do you use?
I started out with a Fuji, and now I've got a Nikon Coolpix one.
Okay. I've heard of Fuji, and what was the other one you said again?
It's a Nikon Coolpix.
Okay. Okay. What's with the Fuji, how different is that compared to that one there?
Well, the Fuji, it was like a starter camera in a sense, but it's all, everything's digital. I kind of like that one a little bit more because, I had my settings like perfect because I used it for about 3 or 4 years before I actually got into Ringside. But I really like my new one now because the pictures are a lot more bright and it captures everything a little bit better.
Oh, nice. Nice. Isn't it amazing how photography has changed like over the years?
Yeah, I remember, you know, having the 3mm picture where you're putting in the roll in the back of the camera and then having to, you know, take it out and hope you don't get it covered, hit the light in it so it doesn't ruin the pictures, and having to develop it, waiting an hour.
I remember those days. One camera I enjoyed having that we always had around the house was the Polaroid.
Oh, yeah. I used to have one of those. It was always, those are fun.
They are. They quit making certain types. Polaroid quit making certain types and developing and selling certain types of the certain cameras with the film for their Polaroids. They stopped, you know, they discontinuing. So they're like narrowing it down. And then it feels like probably a couple years ago, or 3 years ago, they just boom, just like people just started, you know, this new generation of kids just discovered Polaroid.
I know.
Started using it, and it's like, wow. It's like, I can remember that back when I was a kid, but I thought that was neat. I'm like, all right, cool, Polaroid's coming back.
Exactly. Instant picture, you shake it to wait.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool there. I thought that was gonna, you know, Polaroids were gonna make a big comeback and stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. Vinyls have come back. They're doing great. Let's get Polaroid back, man. We're headed back in the right direction.
Right. Next thing you know, we'll be back with the 15-pound Nokia phones that are indestructible.
Oh God. I remember those things. I think I had one there. Yeah, those things. I got one of the little thick Nokia ones, man. I still have mine.
I'm sure if I dig in a box, I probably can find my old phones.
I have that, and I probably still have my old flip phone.
Oh my gosh, I had one of the slide with the QWERTY keyboard. You slide it out at the bottom to be able to text.
Oh, like a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I never did get one of those, man. How was that?
It was okay. It was better than, you know, hitting the S three times or the five button to get, you know, the right letter and all that.
Oh, nice. Nice. Since you mentioned film, the old cameras were putting the film up. Mm-hmm. You watch a lot of movies?
I do enjoy a lot of movies.
I have a recommendation for one that has to deal with talking about film. It's on Netflix. It's called Kodachrome. It has Ed Harris in it, the guy that played in We're the Millers. He's in it.
And okay.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's really good movie. It has Jason Sudeikis, I think his name is. He was the guy that was in We're the Millers, and Elizabeth Olsen's in it, and Ed Harris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I love Elizabeth Olsen.
This one's a pretty good one. I mean, she has a pretty pivotal part in the movie, but It has to do with like Jason's his character. He goes to see his dad, which is Ed Harris, who's dying of cancer. And one of his last wishes is he wants to go on a road trip to the a place in I think it's like Kansas that that is the last place that's developing Kodachrome film, and they have to get there at a certain date. If not, they're going to miss the window because they're going to not take it in and develop it anymore. So, yeah, it's one of those road trips, and Elizabeth Olsen's Ed Harris's you know, nurse that takes care of him, and it's good. It's pretty good. It's a dramatic movie. There's a lot of comedy in it, dry humor, and it's really good.
I'll add it to my cube. Maybe give it a watch tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It got a good rating. It got like a 6.8 out of 10. It's one of those independent movies, which I love.
I like independent movies a lot better than like the big, huge blockbusters.
Yeah. I definitely do. I like going on and looking at, like, trying to look for different types of movies on, if it's on Netflix or just with me knowing a lot of people who make independent films, you know, going and checking out their, you know, their stuff. Like if it's streaming or going on Amazon, it's like, hey, my movie's out or my short's out, I'll go see it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've got a lot of friends that do independent movies. Either they're a director or they act in them. So I try and follow them if I can, be part of like the Kickstarter or something like that to help them out, and then, you know, watch the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But those are mainly like horror movies.
Horror? You're a fan of horror?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now what is your favorite?
I mean, the gorier, the better. Favorite in general is Trick or Treat. Sam is like my favorite little horror guy.
I was watching. It's very rare that you get a horror movie around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, Black Christmas or Krampus.
Yeah.
And one of the movies that we saw last night, I was at my brother's house watching Monday Night Raw, and they had a commercial for Violent Night.
I saw something kind of about that, but I didn't actually see the trailer, but I'm like, okay, I'll have to watch the trailer.
I just want to see it because for the fact that you got Hopper from Stranger Things, he's playing.
Yeah,
it has what's his name in it? It's been around forever in a bunch of movies. John Leguizamo. He's a
villain. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. From what I gathered from the trailer, Missy, is this house gets held up by some gangsters and it's Christmas time and they're like, You better be nice to us, or the kids are like, Santa's gonna come. And they're like, yeah, we don't believe in Santa. And so Santa shows up. And then Santa has to start kicking ass. He has to rescue the family, and he's like whipping their asses, and he's like season beatings. I'm like, my brother started dying laughing. He said, season beatings. I want to see that movie. I was like, maybe we'll go see it.
If it's got Hopper, yeah, you definitely, it's going to be good. There's, I just saw a picture for an upcoming, it looks like maybe a parody or a satire called The Mean One. And it's looked like it's like after The Grinch. It's, I think, due out this year. It's got David, what's his name? David Howard Thornton. He played Art the Clown in Terrifier movies. As The Grinch. And the picture I saw, I was like, that's terrifying. I have to see it.
I heard a lot of people talking about Terrifier because I looked up on this one app where I have movies. It had Terrifier at like 2011 and then Terrifier later on in 2016 and then the second one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did they do like an Evil Dead thing where Sam Raimi, it's like he did Evil Dead. And then Evil Dead 2 came out, but it was basically like he remade the first one, but called it 2, you know, and then Army of Darkness.
For Terrifier, I think the first one is where you're kind of introduced to Art the Clown, and it's through, if I recall correctly, because it's been a couple of years since I have seen it, it's through like a movie that the characters in the movie watch. But the actual Terrifier is where you see Art the Clown in his prime. And then I haven't seen Terrifier 2 yet. I'm hearing nothing but good things about it. And I'm just waiting for an opportunity to sit down with my husband and watch it.
Nice. Nice. I watched not too long ago. What was it I watched? I sat down and I watched the three new Halloween movies that it came out.
Oh, okay.
With the one, I guess, what came out in 2018 or 2016 that with Jamie Lee Curtis, mm-hmm. and then Halloween Kills, and then Halloween Ends. And I liked the first one they did out of all out of those three there, because mm-hmm. they made Jamie Lee Curtis like a badass. She's like, Michael escapes, I'm going to kill him.
Exactly.
I'm going to kill him. And I did like that. There were some of the kills I'm like, oh my goodness. And then Halloween Kills was all right. I could see why people didn't, but I'm telling you that beginning of it, because you've seen all three of those, didn't you?
I haven't seen the last one. I'm kind of put off by it, so I'm kind of waiting to watch it.
Yeah. Now Halloween Kills, you did see that now.
Yes, yeah.
The beginning where they're in the house, you know, continuation when it's burning and then all mm-hmm. the fire coming in, and then he's killing them and getting out of there. And as soon as he walks out, in that shot of him on the like the house burning with the mm-hmm. axe, guys are like, all right. And then when they went to go try to take him down and he took them out.
I know, it's like,
oh, dude, like the shots. Like the first person shot of, you know, of them getting killed, you know, you could see them through their mask. I was like, that was great how they did that right there. Mm-hmm. That I loved that. But then the rest of the movie, I'm like, ugh.
It just kind of went through. Yeah. Got a little bit, I don't want to say predictable, but it was kind of like, okay, all right.
Especially when he killed the elderly couple, he killed the husband. He was in the bathroom because I was laughing at that because he's in the bathroom. It's like, what do you do? It's like calling the cops. It's like, oh no. It's like Michael Myers in my bathroom taking a shit. That's what it felt like. That's what it felt like there. You know, and he kills the guy, and then he takes the light tube to the woman's throat. And I'm like, geez. You know, it's just some of the stuff there. I'm like, wow. But Halloween Ends, I would watch it just so that, like, you saw what happened to those two.
Mm-hmm.
I would say watch that just to, you know, just to see it, you know, just
okay.
But don't hold, you know, go into it with high expectations. Because
that's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Don't go, if you do see it, watch it for the story part.
Just, okay.
Yeah. For the story, because there's some things there and there. I was just like, whatever. But then the way they ended it off, I was like, okay, whatever.
Okay. Lackluster. Yeah. Okay. So go in for the movie. Don't go in expecting to be wowed.
Yeah, exactly. Don't expect to go in there and be like, wow. You know? But yeah, it's just, it was all right. I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis, she did great. I mean, she did great playing that character, and it was, you know, a good way to end the story, because it's like, how many Friday 13ths, how many like Freddy Krueger's, you know, especially Nightmare on Elm Street, how many of those did they do to till they finally killed Freddy off, or, you know?
Yeah, it's, yeah, they, some of them, they run them into the ground. It's like, all right, let's, are you trying to kill, you know, the character just in general, or, you know, the movies?
Yeah, like Jason. I thought the worst ones was Jason X when he was in space.
I didn't like that one either. I did not like that one either. I like the Friday I like the movies and I'm a big fan of Kane Hodder, but I did not like Jason X.
Now, I do have to say one of the coolest kills was where he takes the person's face and put it in the ice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the nitroglycerin or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, face up, and they're like, you know, it's still like, you know, froze, and he smashes it. And I thought it was
cool. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool one. That was a cool kill.
Yeah, that was. I think they said out of all the Friday 13ths, I think 5 holds for the most kills.
Five. Is that Manhattan? No.
No. New Beginning.
New Beginning? Okay.
Yeah. The one that Jason's not even in.
Okay.
Yeah. It was the one guy who was killing everyone because his son got killed at that camp there where they sent Tommy. Okay. Yeah. So he ended up going in there and just like killing everybody. There were some like brutal kills because I have a box set of like all like 8 Friday the 13th movies, and they like list the body count.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Five has the most. And even if you look at Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X, 5 still holds the record.
Okay. And
yeah, it still holds the record to it. It's funny because there's like 2 out of all those movies, there's only 2 of them where Jason's not the killer, which is the first and the fifth one.
Yeah. And I guess they're talking about a prequel to Friday the 13th, where it's kind of like leads up to his mom. So it's like it would be a lead up to the first one. I forget if they're doing like a small little mini series or an actual movie for it. It was something I had seen like a write up on it a while ago. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll see, you know, the trailer or see, you know, what the plans are for this plot and then see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Years ago, they came out with they had a Friday the 13th series. A lot of people don't know about.
Oh, the TV series? Yeah, I'm on a hunt. I'm on. You can't stream it anywhere, so I'm on a hunt to maybe try and find it on Amazon or something. I want to get that for my husband for Christmas or something.
Yeah, it was. Did you ever see it back? Because they played on Sci-Fi back in the day. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch it back in the day?
I used to watch the show when it first aired with my grandmother.
Wow. So,
yeah, that's who got me into horror movies, actually. It was my grandmother. But yeah, my favorite episode was the one with the compact mare.
Compact mare.
Compact mare, where they open up the mirror, and I think it's whoever's image I think goes into the mirror is they come out and they get killed. I forget exactly what the thing was, but I remember as a kid, I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then there was a shadow boxer episode where the boxer would box its shadow and send it off to go kill someone.
Wow. That's crazy. It was totally different take from what the movies were.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because you put it on, you're like, okay, cool, they got a TV show about, you know, Jason. Wait, this has absolutely nothing to do with Jason.
Nope, totally different. Yep. Totally different. It's like my wife showed me tonight, she showed me a trailer for That 90s Show, the spinoff for That 70s Show. And I thought the trailer was horrible. They showed Red and Kitty. That was the only good thing about it. It's like, who are these kids here? And then there's like, I guess one was supposed to be Eric and Donna's, I guess, nephew or, you know, kid. And they're living with Red. It's like, yeah, let's ship you off to, you know, my grandfather so he can stick.
Exactly.
I was like, my wife looked at it and she's like, where's the original cast? I'm like, they're not in it, I guess. No. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, I highly doubt they'll get the original cast. Maybe Jackie and Kelso would probably be easy to get them, but anybody else, I don't think they'd get.
Nah. Too many of them got in trouble, especially Danny Masterson.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually my favorite. Hyde. I liked Hyde and Tommy Chong. They were my two favorites. Yes,
they were great together.
Yeah, they were my favorites there. And yeah, she showed me that trailer tonight. And I'm like, I'm going to pass this one. I just don't, see it. One show I got back into watching, or I started watching, was the Quantum Leap.
Okay. Yeah, I never really was into that growing up. But I like the take it seems to have. So I'll have to maybe give it a watch.
I like it because, they use the premise of the original show was the person leaping, fixing whatever, leaping to another time, leaping another time and try to leap back home. But they got that story going. And then they got the story going on outside of everything going on, too. They got two stories going on at the same time, but they jump in and out there, and they played out well,
which I
think is great. They got the first 8 episodes up on Peacock. They played on Monday night, and then if you miss it, you replay it on Tuesday. But they haven't done nothing here lately. I think they're on a hiatus right now, winter break.
So. Yeah, I think a lot of shows with all the holidays, people are too busy to sit in front of their TV because they're shopping or parties or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's plenty of time to go catch some good wrestling.
Exactly.
There is. I was talking to one of our mutual acquaintances. I actually met him. He came down here to Daytona Beach. I met him. You know who I'm talking about? Damian Saint, right?
Damian Sainton.
I got to meet him, which was cool. I'm probably killing his character.
I'm so sorry.
I've known Damian now for a few years. Excuse me. And it's through David C. Russell from Deathmatch.
Oh, okay, Deathmatch.
Yeah, he pretty much, that's how I met Damian. And I met Damian, we hung out, and it was cool getting to see him in person after talking to him. And then, I talked to him back and forth, and he said, you need to check out this promotion I'm a part of. And he was reffing at it first. And GM of it, Rocket Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah, he sent me their what do you call it? What was their show they did in October? It was
October was Darkness Falls.
Not Darkness Falls. It was one after that one.
Hold on.
It was Harvest Chaos, I think.
Oh, Harvest. No, Harvest Havoc was last month.
Harvest Havoc.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched that. I watched all those matches there. And I like what I see with Rocket Pro.
It's a phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal promotion. I started going to them as a fan and was like, I got to work there. I got to work with them.
Yeah. It's great. The energy, they pack the house. Mm-hmm. They pack the house. They tell stories, and the talent that's there, it's great. The commentary I get a kick out of because I do color commentary for Adrenaline Wrestling.
Okay. And
I do the color commentary, which I love, and I'm listening to the commentary with these guys, and I'm like listening to it, and It's good. It cracks me up sometimes because I don't know if Shelly is being serious or is she, it's like she don't even know she's watching a wrestling show half the time. We're having a match. It's like, hey, welcome to the party.
She's hilarious.
And then, everyone does a great job of what they do, but I get a kick out of the commentary because being commentary myself, I said to my wife, I said, you know, it'd be awesome to do. I said, we go to Chicago, go somewhere we haven't been before, go to Chicago, and I'd like to go to a Rock of Pro Wrestling event. I said, hell, I would like to even just do a guest commentary spot on Rock of Pro. That would be awesome to do.
Oh, I'm sure that would be fun. Steve, he does the color. He cracks me up. He absolutely cracks me up. I will rewatch all the YouTubes, all the videos that they put on YouTube, just to hear what he said about certain matches.
I do the old school commentary. I draw from like old school, like Bobby Heenan and especially Rowdy Piper. Mm. And I went back and I watched old Georgia Championship Wrestling with Rowdy Piper and Gordon Sully. And I pulled some inspiration from there. I pulled stuff from Superstars when he did that. Remember when he did color commentary for Superstars, Rowdy Piper?
I have like a vague of it, but I think that was around the time when I was not really watching and paying attention as much.
Yeah. I pull from there, and I pretty much I'm the way I describe, like if someone says describe how your commentary, color commentary, I explain it as I'm in disbelief. I'm in denial. You know,
okay.
Someone's cheating in front of me, I'm in denial. Just like Damien was when he was on guest commentary there, what happened in the main event. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we wish, you know, I'm dying laughing because I'm like, I would have pulled the same stuff. Just being in denial. No, I didn't see nothing.
Nothing's going on. I don't know what you're talking about.
Nothing's going on. It's like on Chapter 3 or Journal of Wrestling Chapter 3 when it was like the first time I was come back to do commentary in 2 years. I'm just a little bit nervous. I don't know what I'm going to do. I was like, all right, I'm just going to do what I did before, be heel, do color. And the guy I had next to me, Donnie, you can hear he's trying to be as Gordon Sully as possible. And I'm just sitting there just throwing stuff. And then we had the one guy doing sound that was jumped in on commentary here and there. And we jump on him and he get mad. And one of the matches, because I was going back, I re-edited the third show and it's coming out next week. And when I was listening to commentary again, and one of the matches when someone gets thrown out of the ring, manager's beating him up, I'm like, oh, look, he's so nice, he's throwing him in there, you know, he's you know, you need to take your sunglasses off. And he's like, he's not doing that. Oh, yeah, he's such a nice guy. Try to give him a hand. You know, it's like, is he doing a legal chokehold? No. Is he picking his nose? And I'm like, no. He's just on his nose. He's trying to wipe it off. And then all of a sudden, he had enough. And it's like, he is not. And I'm just like, whoa, I didn't expect that, man. It's like,
calm down.
Yeah, I was like, calm down. But I had a great time doing it with him. And it just, who I do commentary with now, Miss Tanya, is great. I enjoy that. I re-edit chapter 1 and chapter 2. We put that out the last 2 months. And I went over, I talked to her. I said, let's throw some commentary down on this. This has not been done. And she was like, all right, let's do it. So I went over and brought my stuff up and we did it post right there at her house. And bam, we like knocked out both shows in one day.
Nice.
Yeah, just sitting there. Yeah, she's sitting there, a cup of coffee, smoking a cigarette. And I'm sitting there, you know, cup of coffee, you know. Sitting there just vaping and just in between stuff. It was great. But I mean, it was doing post commentaries all right, but I like doing it live because it's more organic, if that makes sense.
It's in the moment. It's in the moment. You're like, it's there and then out your mouth in 1 second because it's all the action's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. It's doing it post. It's fine when it needs to or has to, but I'd rather do it live in the moment just there because being in the moment, it's great. Because, you know, something happens again, you're not going to have like a holy shit moment again to say exactly. Something like that. If yeah. You do a post, it's like sometimes in post, you got to make, if it's a match that stinks up the ring and you know it and you're like, man, I got to make this sound good. I got to make it
hard.
Like, it is. It is hard. People think, oh, it's not that hard. Yeah, it is hard. It is. There's aspects of pro wrestling that is hard, like, you know, with commentary, you're trying to put the talent over and trying to put you over at the same time, to like the guy shooting the show with the camera and, you know, with the roam cam on ringside, trying to make sure he gets everything. And you got the hard cam set up outside, you know, back getting the whole picture, the big picture. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you got a guy back there or you don't. And then, of course, you got what you do, being a photographer, you're sitting there trying to get that shot, making sure, like, the ref don't get in the way.
Exactly.
I'm sure you've had that happen before. You're trying to get a shot, and the ref jumps right in the way.
Oh, yeah. Beginning of this, towards the end of last season with Rocket Pro, I had one. It was, like, set up. I had couple of the wrestlers sometimes kind of give me an idea, hey, I'm going to try hitting this type of move. And given that I've worked with a lot of them, I can tell like the type of move they're setting themselves up to get into. So I had somebody tell me, hey, I plan on doing this. And they get set up and I'm like, oh, they're getting in ready to do that move. So I get set up to get that perfect shot. And just as I hit click, ref butt. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you? No. I was so mad. It was like, I can't be mad at the ref because he's doing his job. He's watching out. He's not having his, you know, butt on hard cam. But I had the perfect shots. So you live and learn. I try and, you know, that was kind of like a slight little learning lesson for me to say, okay, watch not only where the wrestlers are, but where are the refs, so that I can try and not have to discard half my, you know, half the pictures I take because they stepped in the way and I got a leg or I got a butt or a back in the way.
Right. Right. That's like last year when I was working for a promotion, when I was working for CFWE, there was times where we had this one ref, and I hate when I would edit the matches. I'm like, oh man, this guy getting in the way. It's like he would like two actually, there was two refs. One of them I actually talked to. I said, I'm gonna have the camera guy, room guy, because I was doing the production for it. I didn't do no commentary, just I did everything in the back. And I was telling him, I'm like, look, I got the roam cam here. Over on this side here, I got the hard cam here. I don't care what you do over here, but don't hit this guy. And he was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then he started, to, you know, at first it was a little bit hard for him because he was always looking around. It's like, where's the camera guy? You know? Because I was telling him, I was like, you make my job really hard.
Yes.
He got the hang of it because when he'd come in the show, first thing he'd say, he says, where's everything positioned? He worked with me. And it was like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'm shooting from this way. He's like, all right, I'll stay over here. Made perfect sense. He said, I would try to, you know, there's times where, you know, two or three times is, you know, okay, whoops, but I can work around that. I got another camera. The other guy I talked to, I'm like, dude, you keep jumping in the way of the camera guy. It's like I have to use the hard cam more than I have to do this. Because I can't tell the story when they're down on the mat here and all of a sudden you slide right in and again
your whole body.
Yeah. It's like I told him one day I told him I said if your ass was in a lineup, I can identify it right off.
Yep.
Because your ass shows up more in my camera than anything. I said, no one wants to watch a whole show by the hard cam. They like to see some close up stuff of like
the help action. Me out. Yeah.
Help me out. I talked because the promoter would be like, why is it coming out? Why are you? And I'm like, because he's not listening. He keeps getting away. He's like, oh, that guy sucks anyway.
Oh, jeez.
He's like, you know, like one day I was in the back there and I'm running the stuff and he about runs into the damn computer back there. Really hooked up. It was right by a door. We blocked off everything where no one could get to me, and I'm talking to the guys with the cameras like, all right, this is what we're doing, giving the rundown, everything for the show. Here he comes trying to bust through, and I look and I'm like, he's like, hey, I got it. I was like, no, you ain't asking me. I was like, I went off on him. I'm like, you ain't asking me shit. I was like, you about tore up my computer there. He damaged one of the extra cameras I had in there.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'm like, thanks a lot, man. I ran him out of there. And then he wanted to tell me how to run my show. And I was like, you know what? I'll tell you what. You can do this. Let me have the stripes. I'll go out there and I'll ref.
Exactly. He'll probably do a better job.
Thank you. And yeah, it didn't last too long with him. He quit. I don't know what happened. He quit coming around or they quit calling him. I don't know. But you know, you run into situations like that. It's funny. You run into a lot of situations like that. But then what's good is the work that, you know, that you do, you actually hear, you know, it's good to get good feedback from people. Mm-hmm. You know, it is. It's really, really good to get really good feedback from, you know, your peers and stuff. And I'm on your Facebook page here for Take Action Photography.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of people. You got a lot of followers. 2K followers with 716 following. Wow.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is. It is. But you're doing great. You're doing great here. I've looked and, you know, with me watching Rocket Pro, I see you out there by ringside snapping away. I do. I see you. You know, you're in there making sure you get the pictures. You're doing great. You know?
Yeah, get the pictures, trying not to get hit.
What's one of the craziest moments for you being at ringside, you know, taking photos? What's one of the most craziest moments there for you?
I really can't think of like one specific crazy moment at this time. I think just in general, there'll be times where I'm just there and like realization will hit, especially if it's like somebody that I used to watch as a fan. Like for Rocket Pro this week weekend, we've got Marche Rocket going out. I watched him when I was sitting in the seats as a fan, you know, snapping away, and just the fact like I'll be like, wait a minute, I used to sit in that seat over there and cheer him on, and now here I am snapping away, you know, ringside getting him. There's another Grin and Barrett. He's another one, my son's favorite, actually. And it's just like, he comes out and I'm like, I used to, you know, do his little dance when he came out as a fan. So yeah.
That's amazing. I'm looking on your page here. Mm-hmm. Rocket Pro, you promote and share a lot of stuff right there around the Chicago area, because that's where you live, right?
Yeah, I'm based in the, well, I live in the burbs, Chicago, based in the general area. Mainly shoot currently in this area, but I've shot in the Michiana area for a little bit, Michigan and a little bit of Indiana. Haven't ventured out of these three states though yet.
that's cool. It is. I'm looking at the Rocket Pro Christmas Chaos, which you mentioned, Saturday, December 3rd. And you got a triple threat match for the RPW Championship.
Yes.
Christian Rose, dude, I enjoyed that match he had at the on the last event.
Oh, against Cody James, the street fight. Yeah, that was crazy, especially because then they take it out of the ring and they're fighting through the audience and they go to the St. Joseph Park bar and they're having a fight at the bar and then they make their way into the concessions and fight in the where the food is and then make their way back through the audience to the ring. And that's crazy just trying to keep up with them and get through the crowd just so I can continue getting shots.
It was entertaining. I enjoyed that last event there. And they got a triple thread here, which I think is going to be great. I mean, Marchette Rocket, Christian Rose, and I suck at names.
Oh, Eli Isom from he's from Ring of Honor.
Yep. I was trying to remember because with the audio and stuff, with you know, listening to what, you know, Damian was, you know, yelling at the top of his lungs about.
When say not yelling.
And then there's a Lucha Libre seminar.
Oh yeah. That will be at the Berwyn Eagle Club. That's hosted by Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, that I also shoot for. That's going to be December 6th, 8th, and 9th at the Berwyn Eagles Club. They asked me to come for a night or two to shoot during their seminar slash like low training, but I'm not sure which days yet.
Oh, nice. I think that's awesome. I heard seminars. Like, it's good to go to, you know, it's really, really good to really go to the, you know, seminars when, like I've heard like Damian talking about going to, you know, seminars, and it's, and a lot of other people I know, they said it's good because you take something away from there, you know,
exactly. Learning. And you get to, you know, learn something from them and learn something from each other, you know, whoever else attends, like, you know, you kind of help each other learn.
And then open the Chicago Land Gate Super Show on December 10th.
Yes. That will be Chicago Land Championship Wrestling teaming up with Wrestle League and Dragon Gate Wrestling.
Nice. I found YouTube lately has been giving me recommendations here and there for stuff, and all of a sudden this thing popped up, Chicago Style Wrestling.
Oh, they're one I want to go to. They're a little bit more north of me, and they're Friday nights, and it's hard with my work schedule and the husband's work schedule to be able to get to those. But they're based up in Franklin Park, and they're really good too. They've got a lot of the talent that we have. Steve, that does commentary at Rocket Pro, he's I think he's a general manager there, but I know he works with them as well.
Yeah, it popped up, and what popped up was it was a match with Sky Blue with face on a pole match. And I'm like, wow. Okay. So I watched it and I was like, dude, what is this? And then I was like, Chicago style wrestling. So I followed him on, I subscribed to him on YouTube. And Monday, they were premiering, I guess, one of their events. Well, actually, I'm looking at right here. I pulled it up on their YouTube here because I was wanting to talk about it here with you. Mm-hmm. They pulled up their, it's the year, their Chicago style wrestling showdown 2, Second City Showdown, full show. So I want to go back and watch that right there.
I know they've got some amazing talent there. Mateo Valentine is one of my favorites that's there. I know Cody James is there. Who else do I know is for sure there? There's is a lot of good talent that's there based in Chicagoland area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. Someone said to me a while back ago, they said, you live in Florida, but you like all this wrestling in like Ohio and the Midwest and stuff, because I'm like Rocket Pro is new one. I'm getting into now Chicago style wrestling. I'm getting into, I like Black Label Pro out of Indiana. Freelance. I'm probably not Chicago. Saying that. Yeah. Freelance. Mm-hmm. I need to get my IWTV back up because I was watching when Freelance Underground. I was like loving that because of the shows and stuff, and like FGW and out of Ohio, I'd watch that. Cody Hawk.
I love Cody Hawk. Yeah.
Yeah, he was part of that promotion. He's gone now.
Yeah, I know he was doing the micro wrestling.
Yeah. Me and my friends, micro wrestling, this is before he joined, he started doing that. It was one of the bike weeks here in Daytona. So we heard they were like, hey, we got midget wrestling. It's like, all right, yeah, let's go see it. So we go over to this one place over here. It's like right down the road from us. It's probably like 10 minutes away, like 10, 15 minutes away from me. And we get there and me and my friends get dropped off and we're walking around there. And it's like, oh my God. It's like, how are we going to get around? Because they had no seats. They had a ring and everyone was standing. And we're like, I was like, how are we going to see these midgets wrestle with everyone around? So we walked around there and we stood up enough there. And they came out and they talked for almost, the show started late. Then the show actually started late. Then they like almost cut up forever, like a promo and stuff. And my friend who used to wrestle, he was there with me. He looked at me and he was like shaking his head. He yells out, he says, if I want to watch 45 minute promos, I'll tune in the Monday Night Raw. he's like, I come to see wrestling. One of my other friends were like, we come to see wrestling, not talking. You know, they were getting aggravated. And then they finally did their first match. And we were watching it and we're like, you know, okay, this is good. And then the guy was still talking and yelling in the mic while he's wrestling. So we're like, you know what? We're out of here. So we left. I mean, it was a free show anyway. So we didn't pay, but we left. But I'm glad to see, like, you know, Cody Hawk going around and, you know, helping build promotions and putting his, you know, wisdom,
yeah,
you know, from wrestling. And what else? Since we're talking about Cody Hawk, Shauna Reed got to go to UK again.
I saw that. That was really cool. And I think she mentioned she's going back overseas sometime in the near future.
Mm-hmm. That's good. She getting an opportunity there. Speaking of overseas, Billy Stark, Japan.
I know. I'm so happy for her. And I saw a couple of the pictures and the look of joy on her face. Like she's hitting her goals.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is what she was talking about when she couldn't really say when she was on my podcast a few months ago, because I tried to get it out of her. It's like WWE, AEW. It's like, no, can't say right now, but something's coming.
Okay. That was probably it. Yeah. She probably had to get everything cleared because I know she mentioned she had to get things squared away with school because she's still in high school, so that it doesn't count against her because I think she's, you know, an honor student and doesn't want to ruin, you know, her GPA and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's like the people that you know and you talk to, or, you know, you had some kind of contact with, they're like breaking, you know, getting these breaks and these mm-hmm. opportunities to go do stuff. It's amazing, you know?
Yeah. Like, Jason Hotch, I don't know if you've ever had him on your thing, show. But I actually remember seeing his, I believe it's his very first match quite a few years ago. And now he's on Impact. He's one of the Impact stars. He won the, that gut challenge.
Oh, nice.
Now I get to see him when I turn on Impact Wrestling.
There's like two people I know of. When I was working CFWE last year, they've worked Adrenaline. Christian Mills, watching him grow. I've got to see him grow in the last year. Another guy I got to see grow here in the last few years, which has been Jacob Rose from FGW, Future Great Wrestling. And another one of Cody Hawks's students. Mm-hmm. And getting to see these two guys grow is just amazing. It's just like seeing where they're going with their career and stuff. You know, there's some good stuff that happens, some bad stuff that happens, but hey, you know, it's story and it's character development.
last night on AEW, a buddy that I've been following and have worked with several times, Isaiah Moore, got to get beat up by Matt Hardy on the AEW last night. And it was like, I'm watching, I'm like, okay, you can win. All right, you know what? You're getting beat up by Matt Hardy. That's freaking awesome.
Hey, it's opportunity, man. It's opportunity. Shauna Reed came back about four times on Dark. Mm-hmm. I liked her match with Thunder Rosa, but when she was put up against Jade Cargill.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no way. But I understand, like, from a fan's point of view, I'm like, no. From a business point of view, I'm like, all right, she did what she needed to do. And it was, you know, business. From the business point of view, I understood it. I understand mm-hmm. it. But, like, from a fan point of view, you're like, no.
No.
No, don't squash her.
But, exactly.
You know, she did what, you know, Shauna was brought in and did what she was supposed to do. And it was great. It was great. And I think one of the things, like, I notice, like, with, like, talent and stuff that down here, I don't know how it is up there, but some people don't want to, you know, get in there and, you know, like, do a job or tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you think about it, you're telling a story. You're like, if you're doing something long-term, if you're having long-term booking with a promotion and they're going to put you in this angle, it's storytelling, man. You gotta, you know, you gotta take that loss every once in a while. You can't
exactly
all the time, you know, because it's part of the story, you know,
the buildup.
Yeah, the buildup. That's what I was looking for there. Mm-hmm. It's like the buildup. I mean, you gotta have that storytelling, because you got that storytelling and you get you know, the charisma and the good, you know, in-ring work with the great storytelling. Man, you're gonna draw people in, you know.
Exactly.
Just draw them in. And I think one of the most, to me, I think over this week, last couple weeks, the most exciting thing I got to see was, as I mentioned, my influence and color commentaries, Rowdy Piper.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see Teal Piper, Rowdy's daughter, wrestle live. Oh. Yeah. I got to see Teal. She came to Daytona for Go Wrestle. She wrestled against the women's champion and she beat her. So she took the title.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yep. Wow.
She took the strap. So she's carrying it right now. And they're doing it. They're coming back in January because they're not doing nothing next month because of the holiday. But she's coming back in January. And I'm excited to see who she, you know, she goes up against and defends that title against.
I think that's cool. Yeah, that would definitely be like one of those type matches. You know, it's a generational thing.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's amazing. You know, get to see the House of Heathens. You know, I've seen them on ARW on Fight, but now get to see it live. It's like, this is great. This is great stuff. And this has been great tonight talking with you about Take Action photography, talking wrestling, talking horror, talking all this stuff. This has been fun. And it's great that you got these shows lined up here that we mentioned here earlier. That's, you know, for next month. And you're pretty busy. Is there anything like ahead, like, you know, in the beginning of the year, anything going on for you at the beginning of the year?
Rocket Pro is usually the first Saturday of every month. So I'm busy with them. And then not necessarily shooting, but in April, I'll be at the Squared Circle Expo in Indianapolis at the Wyndham. It's a wrestling convention. It'll be on April 7th and 8th, I believe, Friday and Saturday night. It's really cool. I'll be, I'm usually a volunteer for it. So I'll be helping out wherever they need help. If it's, you know, helping a wrestler at their table or helping line control. Last year I helped with just making sure the picture lines were good, or setting up any tables that were needed for pictures. But it's really cool because people from all over the country, all over the world, come in and meet wrestlers. When I went last year, this is really cool. I was sitting down at a table to eat lunch and didn't realize where I sat. And I look up and there's the Steiner brothers at the table right next to me.
Nice.
And being wheeled up to them is Lex Luger. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, don't mark out. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. And then I look up even further and there's Rikishi having lunch. And I'm just like, okay. And I'm by myself because I'm waiting for all my friends to arrive at the hotel so we can meet up. And I'm just texting. I'm like, you guys better get here soon because, you know, all these people are at the tables. So, but it's really cool. They've got, right now, they've got MJF, I believe, coming. And they're still announcing people. They're still announcing a lot of people to come. Kurt Angle, who is on my bucket list to meet. He was one of the first persons announced. So it's definitely a good time. Good weekend. 2 days of nothing but wrestling. Plus, they end each night with a wrestling show. So, and I know last year, Cody Hawk, a lot of the wrestlers from FGW were part of it. Shauna Reed teamed up with Ari Alexander and wrestled. So, yeah. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing those shows.
Nice. That's amazing. Yeah, I remember seeing that last year there, posting and seeing, you know, some stuff there on social media. So that's gonna be awesome. That's gonna be a good event for you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be great. Where can on social media, since we're talking about social media, Take Action Photography, where can people find or hit you up on with Take Action Photography on social media?
I am on nearly every single social media possible, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. It's usually either full name Take Action Photography or it's Take Action Photos.
Nice. Missy, thank you for coming on and chatting with me. This has been great.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, you know, especially talking about everything, including our mutual friend.
Yes. We have a lot of mutual friends, I'm sure, because we haven't even scratched the surface yet. Because, like,
oh, yeah. People
that you know that I know too through the world of wrestling. And yeah, like I said at the beginning of the program, wrestling, it brings a lot of people together, man. Mm-hmm. It's a small world.
It really is. It's a lot smaller world than you realize.
It is. It is. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say thank you for downloading the audio and viewing the video portion of this podcast. I am Everett Lee. I'm signing off. Everyone have a good week. We'll see you next time for another new episode of The Everett Lee Show. Peace.
Follow The Everett Lee Show on the following social media platforms: Facebook, The Everett Lee Show; Twitter, at The Everett _Lee; Instagram, Everett Lee. Subscribe, follow The Everett Lee Show on the following platforms: anchor.fm/Everett Lee Show, YouTube, Everett Lee, and Johnners Podcast Network, WrestlingWithJohnners.com.